When you think of Southern food, especially if you're not from the South, fried chicken might be the first dish that comes to mind. Chicken is a Southern staple, and the biggest chicken companies in the world are all based in the South. The second largest poultry state is Arkansas, and the Northwest region, home to the Walmart empire, is also home to Tyson, Cargill, and George's, among others. 20 years ago, it was more than 80% white. But today, because of Big Chicken, there's a ballooning population of Latino, Marshall Island, and Asian immigrants. The school system is nearly half Latino, and streets once marked by poultry plants and feed stores are lined with taquerias and signs en español.
You go down Thompson Street and there's about 8 to 10 Hispanic businesses, and that's the most that I had ever seen in line in my whole entire life.
This is the story of Springdale, Arkansas, and how chicken transformed a once sleepy rural town into the most ethnically diverse city in the state, and among the most diverse in the South. You're listening to Gravy.
Gravy!
Gravy.
Gravy.
Stories about the changing American South through the foods we eat. We are a production of the Southern Foodways Alliance, and I'm your host for today, Vaughn Diaz.
La Zeta. No, otro mundo.
That's 95.7, La Zeta. I'm driving down South Thompson Street, a double-lane stretch of highway that connects Bentonville, home of Walmart, to Fayetteville and the University of Arkansas. Smack in the middle is Springdale, a town that most longtime residents describe as having been a sleepy little town in the middle of nowhere. But in the last two decades, it's grown substantially. It takes up 42 square miles. And in the year 2000, there were 47,000 people living there, the vast majority of whom were white. As of the last census in 2010, there were 70,000 residents, more than a third of whom are Latino, followed by a growing community of folks from the Marshall Islands and Asian countries, including Laos, Vietnam, India, and China. Driving down this stretch of South Thompson, the changes are obvious. Latino restaurants flank both sides of the road, along with clothing stores selling colorful quinceañera dresses and mechanics and check cashing stores with signs completely in Spanish. There's also a huge grocery store called Asian Amigo, which sells half Pan-Asian products like lotus root, kefir lime leaf, and a large wooden canoe, yes, a real wooden boat, brimming with fresh fish on ice, and half Latino ingredients like corn husk for tamales and every imaginable dried chile. Rising up in the background of these businesses is a towering reminder of what brought these immigrant communities to this once rural Arkansas town. Cargill, which, in addition to its many other agricultural products, runs one of the largest poultry production plants in town. Arkansas is the second largest producer in the country. Georgia's number one. And the U.S. is the largest producer in the world. In recent years, chicken has emerged as the most popular meat in the U.S., and experts predict it will surpass pork as the most popular in the entire world by 2020. So, now is a really good time to be in the chicken business. Tyson, the largest global poultry producer, was founded and is still based here, as is George's. But so too is J.B. Hunt and two of the other largest trucking companies in the nation. Well, and of course Walmart, still one of the biggest companies in the world, and it's based in neighboring Bentonville. The once sleepy town of Springdale has a major role in a profitable global industry, and it's fueled largely by Latino labor. It's estimated that as much as 60% of all poultry workers are immigrants, with Latinos making up the largest share. But Latinos aren't just coming and going. They are planting roots and making this once homogenous Northwest Arkansas town into a bustling, diverse city that will be forever changed.
When you look at where the industry is located, you see that it's in very rural areas, areas that were historically known for being very poor.
That's Dr. Yvonne Vizier-Thaxton. She's the director of the Center for Animal Well-Being at the University of Arkansas in Fayetteville, just one city down from Springdale, where she lives. She talked with me about the beginnings of the poultry industry in the region.
The poverty in these areas was largely the result of the quality of the land. It wasn't good for growing crops or for other uses, so at that time, the agricultural industry in Northwest Arkansas was primarily apples. And then there was an apple blight. So the apple industry started to fail, and people saw opportunity and started having more chickens.
As I already mentioned, Tyson was founded here, and many others followed suit.
Northwest Arkansas produced more than 1 million broilers just in this little geographic area in the 1930s, which is a lot of chickens for the time, and to be in such a relatively small area. And of course, once it started, the growth didn't stop. And it basically had grown at least 10% a year up until recent years, when it seems to have stabilized a little more, slowed the growth down to something around 5%, 5 or 6% a year, which is still pretty phenomenal.
And one of the stalwarts of the early days of Springdale chicken can be found in a local chicken house serving up a one-of-a-kind fried chicken. Now, every corner of the South has its way of frying chicken, almost too many to name. And in Springdale, the local staple is a place called AQ Chicken. It was founded in 1947 by Roy C. Ritter. He was one of the early pioneers in the poultry industry, and that year, he decided to create a family-style chicken restaurant sourced from his own farm. AQ, by the way, stands for Arkansas Quality. The original AQ Chicken House is still on the same lot and sits on the same stretch of South Thompson as Asian Amigo, though we'll get back over there a little later. It's a large restaurant with multiple dining rooms, each with Tiffany light fixtures, floral wallpaper and ornate carpeted floors, framed photographs showing the history of Arkansas chicken, and antiques. I sat down with its current owner, who bought the place 18 years ago.
My name's Dick Bradley. I'm the owner of AQ Chicken House in Springdale, Arkansas.
Dick is in his late 50s with white hair. He's calm, matter of fact, and has been in the business for a long time. What should people know about AQ Chicken House?
Well, they're famous for a family-styled restaurant, and they're famous for their course, their fried chicken, and they've been doing this for a long time.
And I know that the chicken recipe here is a secret recipe, but can you tell me what the signature flavor is?
It's several different things. It's a lemon pepper. It is cooked on an iron skillet, which gives a flavor to the chicken itself. And the skillet back there, I know, is over 40 years old that we've been using, so it's got a unique flavor to it.
The chicken is fried in that skillet over a wood fire, which gives it a distinct smoky flavor with crisped burnt edges. And it's some of the best I've ever had. What did you do before you owned this restaurant?
I was in the poultry industry for several years, so I kind of grew up in it, and so I kind of, that's the reason I felt like it was kind of a good fit for me.
And where do y'all get your chicken from?
Tyson.
And this area has changed dramatically in the last 20 years, I understand. Can you tell me what changes you've seen?
Oh, yeah, it's grown tremendously.
And in particular, as I'm driving up and down Thompson, I've seen just a ton of Salvadorian restaurants, Mexican restaurants. Have you noticed that shift?
No, I've really not noticed that too much.
And yet there are changes in the community. Just down the street from AQ, there's a business called Juarez Electronics. Perhaps his ambivalence reflects old tensions that haven't fully been smoothed. Because however much Latinos have now staked their claim, it hasn't always been easy. So what is it like to be Latino in Springdale in the midst of this change? Coming up, we'll hear from Latinas who grew up in the area and those who came to work in the poultry industry. And now, a message from our donors.
There's that donor music. On Georgia's St. Simon's Island, just a shell's throw away from the beach, Southern Soul Barbecue burns aged local oak and smokes pork, ribs, chicken, and sausage 12 hours each day. Established in 2006, the Smoky Joint's traditional slow-cooking style is managed by proprietors Harrison Sapp and Griffin Bufkin, who not only make great barbecue, but are also proud supporters of the Southern Foodways Alliance. Whether dining on the patio or picking it up to go, SFA members visiting St. Simon's should stop by Southern Soul Barbecue and show your membership card. You'll get a warm welcome and a free cup of some of the tastiest Brunswick stew around. Find their full menu and operating hours online at southernsoulbarbecue.com. Let them know you heard about them on Gravy.
Just a few miles away from AQ Chicken is Arkansas United, an immigrant advocacy organization run by Mireya Reid, who was raised in neighboring Fayetteville by Mexican immigrant parents. She's in her late 30s and has a bright, sparkling personality and a broad smile that lights up her face. She says growing up, hers was one of the only Mexican families in town.
That was not easy. And unfortunately, as a kid, carried some negative nicknames. My most prominent one was the Mexican monkey as a kid because they related our people with animals and had to endure some pretty tough racism from my fellow classmates who wouldn't even allow their children to come over and play because of rumors that Mexicans had diseases.
She says that's changed dramatically because of the influx of Latinos working largely in the poultry industry.
1992 is when the community here recalls and remembers those first buses from Tyson's going down to Mexico and starting to create that pipeline of folks. People joke here that it's no longer just Springdale, it's Springdale. And now there's Arkansas as well, where they close down the street and celebrate both salsa music and salsa, the food, right? Things that when I grew up here, I would have never imagined happening in Arkansas.
At Arkansas United, I also met Michelle Rangel, a Mexican-born college student in her early 20s whose parents have worked in the poultry industry for two decades.
My mom works on the production line. She helps package the chicken, and my dad kind of oversees the production line.
Now, there are dozens of jobs in poultry processing plants, which are increasingly becoming automated. There are centrifuge-like machines that efficiently remove all the feathers from whole birds with large rubber knobs. And there are machines outfitted with claws, like those machines you could never win a stuffed animal from at the arcade, that remove all the internal organs. But much of the work of cutting a chicken into parts, which consumers increasingly prefer to whole chickens, is still done by hand. Workers are responsible for cutting wings, legs, thighs, and breasts from whole birds, all by hand. Once that's complete, workers then debone, separate tenders from breasts, and further trim the bird. Then later weigh, package, and label the finished product. Combined with the chilly conditions in the processing plants, which are often kept at around 40 degrees Fahrenheit, it can be very strenuous work.
And what are some of the challenges your parents have faced just because of the working conditions in the factory?
They would both complain about standing on their feet for long amounts of time, and my mother in her latest two pregnancies actually worked almost to term, working 8-hour shifts on foot. And she was a trooper at it. And because of the necessity is that big, you can't take too much time off of work. So it's been a constant for them, and it's been really hard for me to see them go through that.
For many Latino families like Michelle's, the poultry industry has been critical to their livelihood. But this industry has been under fire for some time, specifically for their treatment of both birds and workers. In October of last year, Oxfam America, an international nonprofit that investigates global issues surrounding poverty and hunger, released the most recent in a number of reports criticizing the poultry industry. Their main critique? That the increases in the amount of chicken folks are eating has caused companies to speed up production in ways that are harming workers. And these workers are overwhelmingly folks of color and immigrants. According to this report, of the 250,000 poultry workers nationwide, most are minorities and a substantial percent are women. I drive back down South Thompson Street in Springdale, and less than a mile from AQ Chicken, in the other direction, is the Northwest Arkansas Workers Justice Center. They provide resources and support services for workers across industries, though overwhelmingly, they work with folks in the poultry industry. Latino immigrants come predominantly from Mexico, El Salvador, and Guatemala, although anecdotally, workers and advocates said there were increasing numbers of Puerto Rican poultry workers. There, I meet six Latina poultry workers, some retired and some currently employed, and all living in the Springdale area for at least a decade. They all moved here for work and found the best job they could get, one where it doesn't matter what your education is or if you speak English, was in the poultry industry. Nearly all said they came because someone here told them there were tons of jobs working with poultry.
Mi nombre es Rosa Rivas y vivo aquí en Springdale. Yo tengo 64.
Rosa is a 64-year-old Salvadorian immigrant who worked for Tyson for 10 years. During that time, she fell twice on slippery floors and injured her knee. She's now permanently disabled.
Yo me llamo Marta Patricia Hernández y mi edad son 50 años.
Marta Hernandez is a Mexican immigrant and currently works for Tyson at the meat grinder station. She says she's experienced racism on the job from supervisors since the very beginning.
En el corte de pechuga.
Me gustaba, pero el día que me accidenté, ahí cambiaron las cosas.
Gloria Barriga is 36 years old and a mother of two. She was injured on the job when one of the machines used when deboning chicken jammed, and she was slammed in the collarbone when she tried to jimmy it open. She said the pain was so excruciating, she couldn't eat and could barely move for days. She was pregnant at the time and had a miscarriage shortly after.
Mi nombre es Noemí Barragán, tengo 61 años. Trabajé 6 años para Tyson, 2 años para George's, 2 años para Simmons, y 1 año para la poultry.
Noemi Barragan worked 12 years in the poultry industry, though she's now retired. Her husband and two of her children still work in the industry. All have experienced repetitive stress injuries in their hands and arms.
Son 12, 13 años.
Many like these women will continue to work under stressful conditions to meet ever-increasing demand for the nation's most popular meat.
I called Tyson to ask them about the workers' allegations. While an official at Tyson Foods says it's difficult to respond without individual details, he did say the company's work safety commitment includes almost 500 health and safety professionals, plant safety committees, and safety training in multiple languages. He said they make sure medical care is provided if someone gets hurt, and that their commitment to respect at work is outlined in their code of conduct, core values, and team member bill of rights.
But these women didn't just talk about their negative experiences in the workplace. They all expressed excitement that the Latino community has been growing and say Arkansas is their home.
Anteriormente era muy difícil encontrar.
Noemi Barragan says she can find any ingredients for cooking she could possibly want, even at Walmart, from fresh chiles to nopales or cactus and jicama. Elizabeth Lopez, a Salvadorian immigrant in her 50s, says that
si Dios me lo permite, aquí quiero estar siempre.
God willing, she'll stay here forever. And non-Latinos in the area, like Dr. Yvonne Vizier-Thaxton, feel similarly.
I mean, I can go without going far from home and find all sorts of foodstuffs in a grocery market that I have never seen before, nor would have had an opportunity to try before. Plus, we've got a fabulous increase in Latino restaurants in the area. So I consider that a resource for us, too, as well as for them. And these are great places.
Getting back onto South Thompson and driving around on any of the connecting streets, it's easy to see why folks like it here. Northwest Arkansas is very pretty, with lots of lush vegetation, rolling hills, and truly spectacular sunsets. It's becoming easier all the time for immigrants to connect with their cultural heritage, and the food at all the local restaurants is awesome. Springdale, the once sleepy town in the middle of nowhere, just a stretch between two larger cities, is forever transformed. And the Latino community will have a substantial role in it moving forward as they continue to expand as one of the most significant social, cultural, and economic communities in the region. To learn more about how Latino immigrants are transforming Northwest Arkansas, hop onto Highway 49 from wherever you can grab it, turn onto South Thompson Street, and park at any pupuseria, taqueria, or panaderia along the way. And instead of fried chicken, grab a pupusa de pollo. I recommend the pozole rojo at Taqueria Guanajuato, a spicy red stew with tender beef and hominy, lime, and avocado on the side. Or try the caldo de gallina, or chicken soup, at El Santaneco. It's a bright, flavorful soup with a clear broth, carrots, potatoes, celery, and chicken feet. Music from this episode comes from Los Vikingos del Norte, Amparo Ochoa, Café Tacuba, and 95.7, La Zeta, Springdale's Latino radio station. Special thanks to TJ Stahlbomber, who provided additional reporting for this episode. Muchas gracias to Nadia Raymond of Latino USA and StoryCorps for hooking up the music.
And another thanks to John Rudolph, executive producer of Feet in Two Worlds, for providing editorial support.
KSEC 95.7, Bentonville, Springville, Rogers.
The Southern Foodways Alliance, the organization that brings you this podcast, is pleased to present Food Media South in Birmingham on February 20th. The event will explore storytelling in the digital age and offer programming for content creators across a variety of media platforms. Featured speakers include Corby Comer of The Atlantic, Kathleen Purvis of The Charlotte Observer, Bill Addison from Eater National, and Valerie Boyd, the University of Georgia's writer in residence. Tickets are available at southernfoodways.org, and a full schedule of events is online. We invite you to join us for Food Media South. Coming up on the next episode of Gravy, how do you make a town thousands of miles from your birthplace your home? Build a temple. The food of Buddhist worship in the mountains of North Carolina. That's next time.